Welcome to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be starting a new parasha, Parashas Vayetze. We're looking at Rishon today, the first Aliyah in Parashas Vayetze. The topic of our Aliyah is Yaakov and the dream of the ladder. Our particular Aliyah is 13 psukim long, running from Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Yud to Pasuk Chof Beis. However, this is the first Aliyah of a very long parasha of 148 psukim for Vayetze as a whole. Let's take a look at a brief summary of the Aliyah and then think about some points to ponder. We hear that Yaakov now leaves Be'er Sheva, where his father is and his mother is, and goes to Haran. We hear that he encounters this place and stays there for the night because the sun sets, takes a number of stones, puts them around his head, and has this dream. In the dream, there is this ladder which is standing upon the ground, and its head is reaching the heavens. The angels of heaven are going up and going down on it, and Hashem is standing on it. And Hashem says, "I am the God of your father and of your father Abraham, the grandfather Abraham and father Isaac of Avram and Yitzhak. And the land which you're dwelling on or lying on is going to be for you and your children. You're going to be as multipless as the children, as the dust of the earth. And I'm going to give this land to you. You'll be a blessing for all the peoples of the earth." Hashem also promises Yaakov that he will be with him and not abandon him while he's doing his mission. Yaakov wakes up from his sleep and realizes that this is the place of Hashem, and he was not aware of it, and says, "Ma nora hamakom azeh, how awesome is this place? Ein zeh ki em beis Elokim v'zeh shar ha-shamayim. This is the house of God, and this is the gateway to heaven." So in the morning he wakes up. This seems to be that the first waking up was in the middle of the night. When he gets up in the morning, he takes the stone which was by his head, makes it into a matzeva, which is a standing stone altar, places oil on it, and he calls out the name of Hashem. And he says, the place that he's at is in Beis El, it's described, but it's called Luz before, and he makes the following oath. He says, "If God will be with me, and he will guard me upon the way which I am going, and gives me bread to eat, clothing to wear, then and I return to the house of my father, then I shall be to me as a God, then this stone which I have placed over here will be a Beis Elokim, the house of God, and everything that I will receive, I will tithe, I will give a tenth to Hashem." That's a general view of the Aliyah. Very complex Aliyah, a lot of very different things going on. Let's take a quick look inside. First question, or point actually, just is to notice is what the name of the parasha. Oftentimes the name of the parasha is really just, seems to just be the word that's at either the first word in the parasha or in the first pasuk of the parasha. But we will have to realize that it actually has a direct consequence and reflection of on the actual meaning of the parasha. I once heard from Rabbi Yonah Skler a very beautiful point that this is the parasha of Golos. This is the diaspora exile experience, which is why the parasha is when Yaakov leaves and the parasha ends when Yaakov returns. It's the parasha of Vayetze, of going out, of leaving. This is the parasha of being a diaspora Hebrew or Jew, as we would call it today. It's interesting to note that if you look at the parasha as a whole, there are no paragraph breaks. It's one of the two parashas in the Torah which is devoid of paragraphs. And part of the reason is that there's no time for retrospect, there's no time for contemplation or understanding what was going on. A few other questions. Where is this place precisely? So Rashi says that he is now sleeping on Har HaMoriah. Rashi points out that it's complicated because later on in this Aliyah, it sounds like he's at Beis El. So where is he exactly? So Rashi's narrative goes as follows, is that he traveled to Beis El, passing by. He's going from Be'er Sheva in the south, passes Har HaMoriah, gets to Beis El, realizes that he missed davening in this special place, and then Hashem transported Har HaMoriah to Beis El, to that area. And the ladder is stretching from the foot of Be'er Sheva all the way up to Beis El, and the Shipua, the diagonal of the ladder, is over and above the Har HaMoriah. However, the Ramban points out that none of the Midrashim seem to match up with the description that Rashi is saying. And so he says that this also doesn't sound like the typical type of kefitza saderech, shortening of the road. So the Ramban gives a different explanation. Well, there's many explanations that he shares. One of the midrashic explanations the Ramban adopts is that Yaakov Avinu travels all the way to Haran, realizes that he has missed davening in the place of his forefathers in Har HaMoriah, turns around And when trying to return to Har Moriah, it successfully arrives there very quickly, which is called Kfitzas HaDerech. The way has been shortened. So it's a very complex, extremely long Ramban and Rashi to understand the general geographics. This is some just basic pointers. It's interesting to note that the Midrash Rabbah over here says, Vayifka b'makom, Rav Huna, in the name of Rabbi Ami, would say that this is a description not of a place, but of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The name of Hashem is HaMakom, the place, the context of reality, and he was in Hashem's place, he was near Hashem. This might be relevant to the reason why it's somewhat ambiguous. Now, what is the meaning of this dream? The ladder, the Malachim, and Hashem standing there. What is the symbolism of this dream as well? So Rashi says that this is famously, he says these are an exchange of Malachim. Yaakov is about to enter Chutz La'aretz, the diaspora, and the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael are leaving him, and the Malachim of Chutz La'aretz are descending. That's why it says Olim V'Yoredim Bo. The Malachim, the angels which are going up, are those from Israel, and they're leaving to be relieved by those who are from the diaspora, which we'll see an exchange at the end of the parasha, which reflects this in the opposite direction. However, it's worthwhile noting that there are many other explanations. So as an example, the Ramban quotes the Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol, that's the author of Pirkei Avot, Rebbe Eliezer, one of the earliest Midrashim we have extant, that this is like the Bris Ben Abzarim, the covenant between the parts, to Yaakov Avinu. And the idea is that despite the many travails that he will encounter, he'll be looked after, which is why the Malachim, the angels going up, are actually, there were only four angels, each one representing a different galus, a different exile. And the first angel ascends 70 steps, referencing the goddess Bavel, which is going to ultimately torture and exile here the children of Yaakov Avinu, and then it falls down. Then the next one goes up, Madai, Yavan, Madai Paras. Then there's the Persian angel, which goes up, and then the minister of the Greeks, and then the minister of Rome. And the minister of Rome, this celestial agent, carries on going higher and higher until the point that Yaakov Avinu gets scared, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even if like an eagle, Edom will rise, I will bring her down from there. So this is about the Jewish future in this version of understanding this imagery. Rav Hirsch points out that, in fact, that the what's going on over here is that angels are forces in nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu utilizes to affect and to change the world. But there's the contrast of these moving forces to Hashem's standing, Hashem's steadfastness and in infinite being next to Yaakov Avinu. What's being transmitted over here is the idea is that Yaakov Avinu is going to be the platform of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov Avinu is going to ultimately be, if you will, for better terms, the ladder itself. Yaakov is is compared to the ladder to be this what's called a Merkava Lashchina. That's why the Chizkuni says it as well. And the Chizkuni adds a Yerushalmi, which says that the reason why the angels were going up and down was because they were looking at the Kisei HaKavod, the celestial throne, and they saw that on each of one of the four corners there was the king of each of the different realms of life. So in the animal world was the lion, in the domestic world was a ox, in the avian world was an eagle, and in the human world was a human, and the face was that of Yaakov, and the angels are going up and down, almost as if they were angry that Yaakov should be a copy of what was on the celestial sphere, and so Hashem was protecting him. What that might mean is that the example of what's being used over here, as Rav Hirsch is pointing out, is that Yaakov is going to be that platform, that Merkava, for Hashem's presence in this world, this consistent presence in the world, the human being this dramatic expression of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Mor Nevuchim, as an example, a different perspective, the Mor Nevuchim says the ladder is the expression of Hashem's power in all the different iterations and different spiritual interlocking worlds, one after the other, so his energy goes through each of these different worlds, up and down. Those are the Malachim operating these forces of nature in each of the different worlds, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at the top of this whole expression of power. Now, what is the significance of Yaakov Avinu not knowing? He wakes up in the morning and thinks, he says, I didn't even know that this place was holy. So there are just two very fascinating perspectives. First, that is the Pirkei Avot Rabbi Eliezer. The Pirkei Avot Rabbi Eliezer says, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, that when he woke up in the morning, what happened was, he says, and this is a very famous statement. In fact, later Jewish bands made a song out of this, and that he woke up and he says, I realize that when you are in Yerushalayim, ki'ilu mispalu lifnei kisei hakavod, sheshar hashamayim pasuach lishmo tevilason shel Yisrael. This is the place where it's the aperture, it's the closest place that a human being on earth can have a relationship with the divine and have a conversation with the celestial. That's what's being said here. However, there's another perspective on this, and that is that we say in the Slichos, at the very end of the Slichos, we say, Mishal al Yaakov beveis el hu ya'anenu. Hashem who answered Yaakov in Beis El, please let us be answered. And part of what that means is that sometimes even when we don't know that we were in the right place, but we were in the right place. Hashem, we've been looking for you in so many different places, and sometimes we go to sleep and don't realize that you're right there, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're right in our lives, right in front of us, but we just can't see you. Please answer us like Yaakov and didn't even realize that you're sleeping in the holiest of places as well. Now, how many stones were around Yaakov Avinu's head? So Rashi says famously at the beginning there were 12, but the stones were based on the Medrash were fighting one with another, and that's why at the end it describes there was only one Evan because they actually merged into one. The Medrash Rabbah just takes us a little further that this is not just happens to be some sort of miraculous stone merging. It's actually a mashal of the children he's about to have. That if Yaakov realizes that he's being given the legacy, the destiny of having children who are going to form a nation, and he says, well, I can't really do that. I can't help if it's going to be so diverse that there's going to be attrition and antagonism between my children. So Hashem showed him a sign that there will be a lot of fighting, but ultimately they'll merge to be under his head. They'll all form one part of the necessary nation. This is a sign before he even has a wife or children that this will be the future as well. It is interesting to notice that Pirkei Avot Rebbi Elazar, our Gadol, does point out that these stones actually came from the Mizbeach of Yitzhak, from the altar of the Akedah, which is where they are in Har HaMoriah. And when they emerge together, the Midrash continues to say that Hashem pushed them down, submerged them into the earth, and they became known as the Evan Shasir. That was the place where, in fact, the Aron HaKodesh was placed in the base of HaKodesh HaKodashim because of this unity. So the base of Migdash is supported by this stone, which is an expression of the unity of all the children, the future children of Yaakov. That's the only way we can really get the base of Migdash back. Two last questions is, how could Yaakov be scared the next morning and make this vow that if Hashem, you're with me, but Hashem just told him he's with him. So why is he making this request as if he doesn't trust what Hashem, God Almighty, told him the night before in his dream? So Ramban says he knows Hashem is correct. The problem is he's concerned that he doesn't trust himself. Shema Yigra Machet, maybe perhaps that he or his children are not going to live up to the legacy that's being described. So he says, I'm going to make a neder that if I'm able to live up to this, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give this gift. And if I'm able to come through this. Rav Hirsch says that he is scared because he realizes that ki ein ze ki im beis Elokim, that this refers not to the place that he's at, but rather himself. He realizes that Hashem wants him to be the beis Elokim, the moving house of God. He wants the human being to be the expression of the divine. And that's a terrifying thought, that a human being walking on this earth can be representative of the infinite, of the divine. That's a terrifying thing that he needs to make a neder for. Finally, the one last question is, what is the promise that Yaakov Avinu makes at the end? The Malbim points out there were two things he requested, so there are two things he promises. He asked for Hashem to be with him. So, Imiyelo Kim Emodi, Hashem will be with me. So he promises to make a Beis Elokim, to make a house of God. That's in response. If you will allow yourself to be with me, I'll make a space for you in this world. And then he asks Hashem to provide him with Beged Elbosh, Elechem Lechol, Beged Elbosh, for bread and for clothing. So in response to that, for all the gifts Hashem gives him, he promises, Aser, Aser, and Locha, I'll tithe everything I receive. So Hashem, please allow this protection, allow you to be in my life, and I will, Bezrat Hashem, show you that you're part of my life. It's reciprocal in the way that he sets it up as well. This ends the Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.